Halloween Day, TNT Hoops Halloween Edition.
Y'all got your candy fill out there, but we'll get right into it quick.
All right, so I'm going to run down the topics for us real quick. So first thing we want to touch on is who's the best team in LA. Obviously, we've seen, you know, the first game of the season, the first day of the Battle of LA. They team up the two powerhouses out in the West. So, you know, we'll discuss, you know, who we think is the better team out of those two. We'll talk about the teams and players that have caught our eye so far. So, you know, players that have caught us, you know, by surprise. Teams that have caught us by surprise. You know, disappointing teams. Teams that are maybe achieving. Obviously, it's only been, you know, four games, small sample size, but you obviously can see a little bit in that first week. We have the best player in the league. We're going to discuss who we think the best player in the league is. Obviously, that's shifting a little bit with, you know, some of these, you know, these top guys, how good everybody is right now. And
the first five games, like who you think the top guy is right now, I guess.
For sure. And then we'll talk about the best fit, the new acquisition, you know, best free agent, best trade, somebody that's fitting in on a new team, making a seamless transition. And then we'll talk, you know, some Sixers talk. Obviously, it's a Philly podcast, so we got to talk our Sixers.
4-0, best team in the league, only undefeated team in the league.
And so we'll talk our ish at the end, you know. And then we'll end it with a little Eagles talk, and then we'll discuss some, you know, some things we have coming up for you guys, such as our new contest that we're trying to do, which is simple, basic. It's a giveaway. We'll give away $50 to any. We'll give away $50 to a special, you know, TNT, somebody, a loyal listener. The contest will be simple. All you have to do is, you know, share our podcast, tag us in it, and that gives you an entry. We'll pick it out at the end of the week. And we'll go on from there. And then also, Ansel and I have been talking. We want, you know, some new guest speakers for this season. You know, for the first half of the season, we want to get a couple people in. A lot of people say they want to listen to the podcast. A lot of people that listen to the podcast want to be on it. So if you're interested, you know, just DM us. We'll get back to you. We'll see if we make something happen.
Word. Oh, that sounds good, baby. Let's get right into it.
Let's get to it. TNT Hoops. TNT Hoops episode 26, Halloween edition. All right, so the first topic we have is best team in LA. Clippers, Lakers, obviously we saw them battle the first night. I'm going to say who I think, you know, is a better team in LA right now. Obviously, we talked about this a little bit. I think it's the Clippers right now. I think they're a deeper team. They're more versatile on the defensive end. They got better shooting, and they're just younger, you know what I mean, at positions that really matter. They have guys that can play now. What do you think?
Yeah, the Clippers now for sure, like we expected. The Lakers at their best is what kind of scares me. And, like, I don't think that's something that they can reach now. Just given, like, I don't know, just, like, instability. Like, the Clippers with PG and Kawhi coming in to just Doc Rivers and a team that was kind of
already
The system was already there. So it was a lot easier for them to kind of just continue on that path and just get better and get better. And the Lakers are good, and they're going to rock teams, as we've talked about. But it's going to be a lot tougher for them to really find that thing that clicks and they can beat the teams like the Clippers or the Rockets on the night-to-night basis in a seven-game series.
Right. So would you – so, all right, so after, I guess, four games, you see the Lakers roster and, I guess, the direction they're going towards. Do you think they can compete with the Clippers in the playoffs this year? Or, like, would you have them as a favorite over the Clippers right now in the playoffs? Who would you have as the favorite in a playoff series? Because I know going into it, what you said, you had the you had the Clippers in the playoff series, but you had the Lakers having a better regular season.
Yeah.
So what would you say now after seeing, you know, what these two teams have and obviously what they can add, you know, moving forward and where they'll be at the end of the year?
As they are right now, definitely the Clippers.
Okay.
The Clippers are, like, just top to bottom, just a more efficient team. Like, that second unit, like we were talking about earlier, like, just them in the second quarter, I think they're, like, 4-1 this year, or, yeah, 3-1, so it's just...
Like, as far as just winning the quarter, right?
Yeah, as far as winning the quarter, like, you can win the second quarter and you win the back end of the third quarter, like, and then you have your main guys go head-to-head, like, that's really tough for opposing teams to kind of go against, and just the middle parts of the basketball, again, they're dominating
right
now. Best offensive team, 26th ranked defense, but, like, when you're outscoring teams at a high...
They're the 26th ranked defense right now?
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was that low. I mean, well, maybe, yeah.
You got to think towards the end of the game. Like, it kind of gets skewed because they have...
blowing teams out, and then teams will score, and it becomes a high-scoring type game.
Yeah, so, I mean, they could be, like, in that low 20s range, but, yeah.
Right. Nah. So, we agree that the Clippers are the better team right now. Obviously, the Lakers can make a move for going moving forward. We don't know how the season is going to actually play out, but... what is it, a week and a half now? Or a week?
Yeah, about a week and a half.
About a week and a half in.
I don't necessarily Clippers. Even think they have to make a move. Like, I think...
the Lakers?
Yeah, like, it kind of goes what we were talking about last week. Like, AD kind of has to maybe make that move to the five more often, even though he said he doesn't want to do it. But he can still be put in the positions he's in now. But, like, sometimes you have to guard the Miles Plumlee. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think it's that bad. But he obviously is uncomfortable with it.
Right. Right, no, for sure, for sure. It's going to be interesting to see, though, obviously, Battle of L.A. It's kind of lit, though, that they get, if you play the Clippers, I mean, if they play each other, every time they play each other, and then if you play a home game after, it's like getting two home games in a row.
Yeah.
And then, like, I think the Lakers played the Clippers, the first game of the year, and then they played two home games. So that's like three in a row.
Yeah.
You know what
and
I mean?
Teams double up, like the Hornets play the Clippers and the Lakers back to back.
Yeah, and they have to, right, exactly. So they kind of get that advantage when they play home. But all right, let's move on from that. So obviously, we don't know exactly what everything's going to happen going into the year. So there's obviously some guys and players, some teams that have caught our eye. Or it's almost like a surprising, something we weren't expecting going into the year. Obviously, we gave our predictions and stuff. So, is there any players? Let's just do players or teams. Is there any players or teams that have, you know, caught your eye so far?
Yeah, I'll just do the player team. Then Siakam is definitely the player that's caught my eye, just because the fact that he was most improved last year, but he jumped up another level this year. 28 points a game right now. That first game against the Pelicans, obviously dominated with 34, and then the Boston game when he just cooked Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown the whole third quarter and just, like, helped the Raptors kind of stay sturdy, and then they're pulling in the fourth.
They look good. Yeah. Boston looked good in that. Like, they came back. He was cooking Boston.
Yeah.
Like, he was scorching them, but they ended up winning that game. Boston ended up winning that game.
Yeah. That was Kemba's first win in the Garden.
Yeah.
It's just, I think everyone kind of wrote off the Raptors, like, even you and I, just because we're trying to figure out where the scoring was coming from, right? Like,
yeah,
it was the start of the year.
I mean, I knew it was gonna be him, and I want to say this too. I kind of want to point this out. Remember, we had Ryan on here last year. Let's give him a little shout out. We had Ryan on here last year, Ryan Callahan, and he said that Siakam was going to be the most improved player this year, and he gives the Raptors kind of that little leeway if Kawhi leaves, because he can kind of take over and be that guy. Mm-hmm. He sent me the clip the other night, like, yeah, like I said this, and he is killing right now.
Yeah, you got to figure out what he thinks for him this year, because a lot of people, and it sounds crazy, but a lot of people are saying if the Raptors go to, like, the third seed and he's 28 a night, he's in that repeat conversation.
He has to be. Yeah, he will be. I mean, you'll see how it has to happen, because...
could it be better than Giannis? Like, so you said something the other night when you came over to watch the game and said, like, he actually has a better feel for, like, his offense game. He has, like, just better flow and, like, just rhythm to his offensive game.
I said that to you. I said that out loud. I know I think that, because I definitely think that. Yeah. Like, which is weird, because they both are two guys that kind of picked up the game late. So it's kind of like a toss up who would.
But
you
what
know,
is it about
get that
Siakam's
feel.
Game?
I, guess well, I mean, you see, like, if you look at Siakam's numbers, where he scores from on the floor, it's completely different from last year. He's posting up a little more. He's shooting from the mid-range more. shooting more threes. Like, he's just playing a more complete game. And he, you've kind of seen him opening that up last year. And then, obviously, you play with a guy like Kawhi Leonard. You see what he does on a daily basis. That's going to help you out tremendously, and which is, it has for him, obviously. But I think, yeah, his game, he has more of a game. You know, Giannis still struggles to get a shot off. Shoots so slow, so he can't really pull up. Can't pull up off the dribble. He has to dribble into it, kind of hang into a shot. And then the foul shooting. I mean, Siakam's a good foul shooter. I don't know exactly what he's shooting from the line, but I'm pretty sure he's anywhere from 75 to 80. And Giannis airballed 2 free throws last night in a row, so that should tell you, you know, where he's at mentally, you know, from the line.
Siakam's shooting 96% from the free throw line this year. But
so, no, yeah, I'm not putting Siakam over Giannis just because Giannis, I'm giving
but
Giannis
those years. But when you say ceiling could be high, because, my real question is it scaring you kind of the peak for Giannis?
Cause
for
is it me, scaring it's, you? Yeah, it is. So I'm asking you. That's your Giannis, guy.
Yeah, it is my guy.
Okay.
But, like, seeing how they are this, we'll get into Ben Simmons later, but it's kind of the same thing with the Bucks offense where it's kind of.
Right.
You're playing Giannis sometimes like that point forward, get him going downhill, like.
But teams are walling that now. Like, yeah. They're just straight. Okay, well, you can kick to a shooter. You know what I mean? You can do whatever you want, but you're not about to just get here and finish and get layups and and ones all game, and then we have the W. Then you can kick to an even open shooter. Like, they're letting them, like, we'll wall you up, let you kick to a shooter, put our hand up, and it's kind of been working. You know, and I'm just, if Giannis doesn't have all that head of steam going downhill in a full court, he struggles, and the Bucks kind of struggle to score.
Yeah. All right, so that'll be my most surprising team because they're surprisingly the same or similar with what's
Bucks. Yours, okay, that's a good one.
Your surprising team play.
It's early, though.
Yeah, it's early.
Okay. I have a... So, actually, there's a player that's caught my eye. It's Kendrick Nunn, the rookie on the Heat. He's 26, so he's obviously, you know, experience. He played in G League for a little bit, and he played 4 years in college. His last year at Oakland, he averaged 26 points. So he's clearly been a scorer. That's clearly what he does when he, you know, gets on the court. He's supposed to, you know, get buckets. Right now, coming into tonight, he's averaging 21, 3 assists, 2 boards, on 49% from the field, on 18 attempts.
Yeah.
So he's shooting the ball from the
highest
field.
Highest scoring since KD, right?
And then, yeah, 44 from 3. And then, yeah, after tonight, in the first 5 games of his first 5 games, he scored the highest in his first 5 since KD. So he's in some elite company as far as, you know, scoring a ball, coming into it.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about this, but it's shocking to me how many GMs kind of miss on guys like that. Like, as you said, like, for a guy to put up 25, 26 points in college, and maybe not, he went to a mid-major, but not a top D1 school.
Right.
And then, like, guys you know in the league, like B.J. Johnson, who hit you the other day and said he's been a bucket. And so if you hear about it, like...
You're right.
Like, throughout different gyms and different arenas, that this guy's obviously a professional bucket getter. And he comes to the NBA, he's doing the same exact thing. Like, it's weird to see
guys right.
that get passed over. But
yeah, so what I would say to that is there's just so many... there's so many good players. And there's guys that score. There's guys that, you know, specialize in certain things. And if a guy is averaging 25, 26 points, you know, say at a low D2 or a high D2 school or a low D1 school, and then there's a guy averaging, you know, 16, 17 at a, you know, one of the schools, Kentucky, Duke, that are playing powerhouses all year, that player is looked at as, you know, has higher value just because of, huh?
Like if I were to ask you, and you had all the time in the world, like, I'm not going to even ask you if you saw Kendrick Nunn play.
Right.
You can kind of tell, though, like, the kind of buckets someone gets. Like,
right, but what you're naturally...
Like, state.
So with these professional scouts, and how I'll answer that is what they're naturally trained to do is kind of look at it and see and project what it will be on the NBA level. So you have to see, okay, this guy's scoring 25 a game, yes. Like, he has mastered scoring the ball and... this way or whatever way he decides to score in college or whatever, but they have to try to see if that'll work in the NBA. So you always get that guy that's maybe a little bit bigger, a little bit more athletic, has more room to grow, has a chance for a higher ceiling than as opposed to a guy that, you know, maybe is playing really well and mastered everything he can do for his body type on the level he's at. So I think that's what teams kind of do. They'll get that 6'4 or 6'5 point guard over, you know, maybe a 6'1 point guard that can really fill it up and score. Not saying Kendrick Nunn 6'1". What is he, like 6'4", 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, I was pulling up his stats now. He had, what, 28 tonight, which is crazy.
28.
In 33 minutes. And he is...
How old is he?
6'2", 184.
He's
actually 24. Yeah, he's
24
years old.
He's 24.
I mean, yeah, the fact he's been around for a little bit. I guess he must came out early.
Right. And then some teams that kind of surprised me. First, I start with the Kings. They're 0-5. I don't want to even really say this that surprising. It's just that the Kings, what, over-under was like 38 this year. And I think everybody, for the most part, will take the over just because of what they were last year. And building off of that, you got Fox, you got Hield, just a year older, a year better,
yeah,
leading that team to be a kind of like a force to be reckoned with in the West. But obviously, they haven't taken that step right now, and they're struggling right now. Obviously, don't have Bagley, but that was a team that kind of caught my eye. I'm like, damn, they're really struggling. They lost to the Hornets last night. So,
yeah,
that kind of shows you where they are. What do you think about the Kings?
Yeah, it definitely sucks. Bagley's out 4-6, but it's more of a, I think, inclination on Luke Walton. Like, you got to be able to win at least one game with those three guards. Like, Bogdanovich, Fox, and Hield. There's enough talent to keep you in and at least steal one, because they played three games at home. And like, I know the Jazz is a tough out, but the Suns are obviously better.
The Jazz killed them. I forget who it was. They played somebody. Buddy Hield went like, he was like 0-4 to like halfway through the fourth.
You got that check.
The one game. Ain't nothing about getting a check. He had an off night, man. I mean, people say,
we're just
five
games in, but.
Huh?
I said, we're just five games in, but you know, gotta give a narrative or something.
Right, not for sure, but and then the Warriors, obviously, they we came into the Coffee, year please. Thinking, we came into the year thinking, all right, you know, it's been a proven, you know, they're a dynasty, obviously, and they their system has found ways to make, I guess, average guys, you know, even thrive in their system and look better than, I guess, what they really are. So we probably thought, no, we definitely thought, because what you had, where'd you have the Warriors? 8?
Yeah, I think I had a little higher than 8. I'll find it in a second.
Yeah, I had them at 7. You probably had them like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And they're clearly not going to make the playoffs. And but they
that
clearly.
Was barring before I heard also Clay was out for the year, definitely.
I mean, even if. I can say this now, it's over. I mean, they weren't going to make the playoffs if Clay came back. They weren't going to make the playoffs if Steph stayed healthy. Like, that team is full of.
Now, man. Like, I think they would have rated it a lot faster. We're 4 games in. Like,
no, but, like, that team, bro. Like, even last year in the playoffs, not the playoffs, in the championship, when Clay went down. And KD was already out, and Iggy was hobbled, and you know Livingston was a shell of himself. Mark, I don't know if it was Mark Jackson or Mike Breen, but they said like this wouldn't even be a playoff team. Like this team is currently constructed right now on the floor wouldn't even be a playoff team. When they were rotating guys like McKinney and Quinn Cook and Jacob Evans, like when they're you know these are the guys that are playing now.
Yeah, but Cauley-Stein was going to be back.
What is? I mean, Cauley-Stein's good.
It's a rim protector.
But it's about it's still the West.
A lot of their problems start with that. It's the West, but it's you're like you said, you're playing with D'Angelo and Steph as your primary guard, like
which we've seen isn't really fitting. But I mean,
Draymond and another really good rim protector. I feel like that covers up a lot of those issues, and they can score with anybody. Like a lot of those. Like,
but can they really score with anybody? Can they score with anybody? Like, it sounds good, and that it sounded good before the year. That's why I thought it was important to bring it. Like, so, you got Steph, who's a small guard, who you can double him up.
The first couple of games. And Curry, like, admitted to it. Like, they really struggled to get him the ball because a lot of those sets they ran with Clay and KD just aren't open now. He's the focus. But
yeah, they're only focusing on him. There's nobody. You worry about Damian Lee, Eric Pascal, Omari Spellman. Like, you're not worried about these guys. Glenn Robinson. Like, these dudes are, like, D-level NBA players. So, yes, they have D-Lo, who's an all-star, and it sounds good, but he's a guy that needs the ball in his hands. That's why they were staggering their minutes. They can't even play those two together because those are the only guys that are scoring the ball for them. And there only could be one ball on offense, so you're going around, you're trying to spread out whatever scoring you have. So, like I was saying, even if Steph Wade stayed healthy, they're not making the playoffs, and that was a horrible read from
both
of us. And you know, some people, like, there's people that have the Warriors still being a top seed. Obviously, there's people that have the Warriors. I think the consensus was like they can hang around that 8 spot. But obviously, going four or five games into the year, they were giving up the most points in the league, 126 points a game. Their defense is atrocious. And I think that trend is going to continue moving forward here. I don't really see what can really change that. I think they kind of want that at this point. Yeah. You know, you bring back a healthy Klay next year, you rest Steph up, and probably have him play a little bit, couple games to end this year. And then...
They keep that draft pick, too. Article written earlier in the week.
But what, the Nets pick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's a lottery pick, they keep it. And
top 20 protector.
They should be ready to try to open the window back up for the next few years.
Yeah, so just to confirm, you're off the Warriors bandwagon, though?
I never was on a Warriors bandwagon. I was always a Steph Curry fan. I'm going to continue to be a Steph Curry fan.
You got the jury in here, Southside. Southside, was he a Warriors fan?
He was a Warriors fan.
So, the consensus is I was a Warriors fan. I never was a Warriors fan. Always trusting the process. Always been a Sixers fan. Never wasn't a Sixers fan. Sixers always my primary team. Steph Curry is my favorite player since he was number 30, light-skinned bull at Davidson. You look around all you want.
My man Joe made a good point downstairs. And
What'd he say?
I'm not agreeing or disagreeing, but he said, you've been rocking with him for 7 years. At some point, you become a fan of somebody.
You've
been rocking with Curry, but he's played for the Warriors, and you've kind of acclimated yourself with the Warriors, and you've retorted to him.
So why would I not be a fan of them now? So why would I not be a fan of them now if I'm still a Steph Curry fan?
Curry's still on the team.
So why am I not a fan of them now?
That's what I'm asking you. I don't know why you're pressing me. I'm asking.
No, you asked me a question. I'm off the bandwagon, so I'm trying to tell you I never was on the bandwagon. Why would I be not a fan of them now?
The question. What do you mean? Why would you not be a fan of them?
You asked me, am I off the bandwagon?
Because they're not going to be an interesting watch.
So that's why I'm jumping up. So the Sixers were an interesting watch in 2014. That's my team. If that was my point is, if that was my team, I would never get, I'm not getting off the bandwagon.
Bring you to homie court. You got to take this up with them. I'm just
making you sure. Asked me a question, so I'm answering you. They're not on here. I'm answering your question.
Yeah, I understand. You just got a little defensive.
Of course I'm going to get defensive. Because y'all be trying to kill me for it, but I'm not a Warriors fan. I'm a Steph Curry fan.
Moving on. What we got next?
Moving on. All right. Yeah, so we got best player in the world. We've been a weekend right now. Who do you think is the best player in the world?
Best player in the world, Kawhi Leonard. Currently, as it stands, just as we watch him hit his just glide to the left.
Yeah, robot.
Yeah, he just do everything.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I mean, he dominates on both ends. It's his time. What is he, 27 a game right now? He's averaging his highest assist in his career, 7.5 assists, 6.5 boards.
He's had to download that program package. Oh, steal. As we watch him, just dominate.
Dominates his old team right now. Shooting 52% from the field, 37 from three, 85 from the line. Just doing regular robot Kawhi stuff.
And he's getting his regulated rest. Like if they squeezed in an off night for him last night against the Jazz last night.
Obviously, elephant in the room is LeBron James is no longer the best player in the world in my eyes. And I just think that it's not a slight to LeBron, but it's kind of just the timing of their careers. And I think Kawhi's at the peak of his powers, and I don't think LeBron's at the peak of his powers. I think LeBron mentally and playing under the rim is as best as he's ever been as far as his skill and all that. But, you know, Kawhi has all of that plus the athleticism. And he'll lock you up on the other end. So, and he's a top dog right now. He just won the chip. So, y'all got to stop him for.
So, do you think if we get
peak, goes through him,
like whatever LeBron's current peak is at 34 this year, that's better than Kawhi turned all the way up like doing 38 in like the Eastern Conference Finals? Like,
yeah. So we kind of touched this earlier. I just think.
What's a scarier version? Is what I'm asking.
Kawhi. Cause he was locking you down too. Whoever he's guarding, he's strapping him on the other end, plus giving you that 35.
So, like, the last iteration of playoff Bron was the last great game we saw was that Warriors going for 50, and then, like, the rest of the series kind of being a wash.
Yeah.
This Kawhi last year is better than,
I
guess we'll say 85% of that LeBron that was going up against the Warriors one-on-one.
Kawhi last year in the playoffs was as good as anybody we've seen in the playoffs. I mean, LeBron was amazing. They both were amazing. I even have said on record that I think LeBron's playoff was, I guess, the greatest I've seen. That one little stretch he had before they played the Warriors and then game one, obviously, that series. But what Kawhi was doing was still as good as, you know, as good as anyone. And I think like, going into these playoffs, like, I'm taking Kawhi would be the favorite just because of it's his time, and I think the two side of the court aspect is so important. Like, is LeBron doing that when Kawhi's guarding him? Is he about to go get 40? Is he about to get 50 with Kawhi guarding him? Or is he going to turn into the facilitator, get Anthony Davis involved, and do what he has to do that way? Because you have to pick your spots with Kawhi guarding you. He's not giving you any breaks. So it's just like, well, I know for a fact, like, the Lakers have Danny Green or KCP on Kawhi. They're not putting LeBron on him for 48 minutes. Yeah. They're just not. So I think Kawhi's peak is scary, because if Kawhi's scoring 35 or 40, you know the defensive end is always going to be there.
I sneakily agree, but sometimes as an NBA fan, you kind of get cemented into your predetermined, like, thoughts about guys. So, like, until I see LeBron, I guess, at peak performance and someone is better, I can't outright say it. But yeah, Kawhi currently is the best player in the NBA. What do we got for the next one?
I want to touch on this before we leave that. I think if they don't let you get to your peak position, like, they don't let you get to your peak powers, and that, you know, that just is what it is. You know what I mean? You can't really say, I didn't see LeBron play his best for him to beat him. Like, if Kawhi doesn't let him,
just have to see LeBron in the playoffs. Yeah. Like, LeBron with two days of rest in between games, like, focusing on only Kawhi beating the Clippers.
All right, so
things could be totally different.
Are those the top two players?
Yeah.
Okay, so who's your... Give me three more after that.
So, aside from the respectable, because LeBron's not playing like a top five player in the world right now, it's Embiid.
No. Like, who's the top five player? Like, not who's playing. Like, who do you think the top five?
So, Kawhi, LeBron, Embiid.
At three? Embiid at three?
Yeah. Okay. Embiid at three. He's just winning games on his own right now.
no, he's not. But
that Hawks showing he went on his own. Like, if you look at his win share, like, that's shit. That's how he's showing. Damn, this is a good. Like, I want to say Harden, but Harden's playing like shit right now. Harden.
No, he's not. He had 60 last night.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Last night in consideration.
Like, what?
Before that, he was playing like shit.
Yeah, he was. He was shooting horribly. We're hard at the top five player in the world, though. Yeah, like, you don't have to check. I know, but I'm just...
All right, so who are your top
five? All right, I should have went first then. Yeah. All right, so those two are my top two. Harden. And being AD. Gotta be. Mm. Or you can even do AD. Like, those three are the last three. I don't care about the order. Right now.
Yeah. So you're taking AD over Giannis?
Easily.
AD's playing with LeBron, though. Like, it's just... Yeah, we've seen AD, when someone tried to build something around AD solely, and it was nowhere close to...
True, that's true.
What Milwaukee is.
But what I asked you... Oh, my God, Kawhi. What I asked you is...
Top five. As Kawhi just hits the three-way, just to inform the listener what's going on, Kawhi's cooking the Spurs in the fourth.
No, but so... When I ask you top five, I mean, like, everything, like, skill, all that. I guess the situation and all that matters, and, you know, the Lakers aren't directly built around AD, but he is the focal point, and I just think, like, he's more unstoppable than Giannis. Like, he just is. Like, as far as, like, just what he can do on the court, like, he can just, like, he drove at the defense.
Nah, don't discredit.
Over and over and over. Like,
he's playing with the all-time, like, one or two.
Okay, with LeBron off the floor yesterday. Like, LeBron wasn't even on the floor for much of when AD was attacking that game and two games ago, or last game, and he went 26 for...
That's Memphis.
Okay, but Giannis is not going 26 for 27 from the line.
Second year Jaren Jackson.
So you like Giannis over AD, or you just playing devil's advocate?
Yeah, no. So I still like Giannis over AD. AD's playing with LeBron, so everything's gonna look a lot better and cleaner. And it's
who you like, Lee? I don't know. Still,
AD.
Easy, right?
Easier. Way more game than Giannis.
Have way more game, but, like, it's not that way more game has to be brought out by LeBron. Like, we've seen that way more game on its own before, and it didn't look as good as the Bucks. And let's take Giannis off the Bucks. Are they?
I feel you, but I know it's always hard to just try to take somebody out and plug them in the system. But I think you can put AD on that Bucks team and they're killing the East too.
You put Giannis with LeBron and it wouldn't be a question who's winning the finals. Right or wrong?
Wrong.
Nah, you fucking tripping.
So how are they? So how does that work? Explain how that works. It sounds good, so explain how that works.
Nah, it's totally different. Like, what do you mean?
Explain how are their offense? What are they running, pick and roll?
No.
I'm serious. Well, why would that be better than him AD? Because you said it's automatic chip.
There's more things you can do.
What? Please tell me. What is there more than with AD? You can go pick and pop. You can go pick and roll. You can drive and kick it out. You can throw it to him on a block. What can you do with Giannis? You can give Giannis the ball and tell him to go, or you can do a pick and roll. You can't post him. He's not a post player. He don't post people up and score. Not as good as AD. He don't have no face-up game. Like, he don't have none of that. Giannis is just giving me the ball. I'm going to go drive at you directly, and I'm going to kick it out to a shooter or dunk it.
Yeah.
LeBron not a shooter. He not playing off him. LeBron needs the ball in his hands. Giannis can't shoot, so he can't play off
all him. All of us are true, and I guess I should have caveated with, like, figured out. Like, AD, you know, like...
So, I mean, that's
perfect. Like, AD is more polished, but, like, if Giannis and Bron were to figure that out, where Giannis could kind of still have the ball in his hands as much as he did in Bron, because that whole thing that Bron can't play off the ball is just not entirely true, but it's something I guess.
I mean, Bron, I'm about to stand off the ball, though, because it's LeBron.
With a guy like Giannis, though, it's just different. Like,
how is it different? With a guy like Giannis, LeBron
had to be turn a mixture of both. Like, it's the same thing we said about Harden and Westbrook. Like, who's going to be the primary ball, and how is this going to work? Like, and Russ has...
I feel like those skill sets aren't even the same, though.
It's not the same, but, like, NBA players figure it out, and you can't tell me Bron and Giannis on the floor at the same time just wouldn't be, like, just... There's too much... I don't know.
Just
like,
two dominant athletes. Yeah, I think it sounds good.
Ass athletes that
but I would...
Get up in that, like, it's hard to stop tons of, like, that. I don't know.
Okay. Let's move on from that. So, we have... Best fit, like the best acquisition, new fit on the team. I think AD obviously just we can just talk about AD and Russ. Though. And Russ.
Yeah, Russ would. So is it really working, right? Like, we've seen Houston like play this before, like where they're just gonna smoke a lot of teams in the regular season, but is that
they're winning, so
yeah, they're winning.
I think it's just
champion. Does it look like a championship to you though? After
I don't think they're not a championship.
Or does it look close to it? Does it look like even possible? Like, these are all.
It's possible, for sure possible, just because they have two dynamic, Hall of Fame, MVP winning, like crazy talented guards. It's possible they have a fighter chance. I don't see
any iteration of how they play, of how they can beat the top.
Harden, if he goes crazy, like, one thing I've noticed with him, and I always say this, is he's just take it for granted so crazy.
You gotta put him, how do you go crazy against the Clippers or the Lakers?
You score 50 like he does.
He's not gonna go crazy on Kawhi and PG. That's just,
I understand, yeah,
not,
like,
not,
yeah.
That's not gonna happen.
Okay, I mean,
like, he'll get his, but he's not gonna go for 60.
Nobody can guard James Harden, bro.
I'm throwing those two guys. Like, it's just, I'm not to just even put it on that team alone, but like those top four teams, that's not happening. Like, he's not going for 45 in a 7-game series just like every single night against the Lakers.
I'm not saying I wouldn't favor him to do it, you know. And I would take the Clippers over them in a series, and I'll take the Lakers over them in a series. But I'm saying he gets a fighter's chance, a puncher's chance of just who he is, what he has the potential, the ability to do. I mean, in those Warriors series, I always thought the Warriors would beat them, but I always give the Rockets a chance, and they almost won the one year just because of how great he is. You know what I mean? You never know. This could be the year just because, you know, they've kind of had their core. They know how they want
to
play.
Russ is looking better this year than he did look last year.
So way better. That his percentages are way up.
I guess Russ, just by after AD, it would have to be Russ.
Those are two seamless, Kemba looks good on them Celtics, too.
I mean, didn't look good against us, but explain.
They've been good, though, since they played us. They beat the Knicks, they beat the Raptors, and they beat the Bucks.
Yeah.
Been following them, obviously, a little bit. They've looked good. Tatum's look good, and Hayward's look good. Marcus Smart's actually looked real good, too.
Marcus Smart came back with a jump shot, which is interesting.
All right, so we have disappointing teams, which we kind of touched on already.
Yeah.
The Warriors just... Kind of like the Warriors, the Kings,
Milwaukee,
underachieving.
Most surprising, but that'll be my most disappointing as well. Just, I mean, not disappointing as a Sixers fan, but just seeing it kind of be the same exact thing, and then losing Brogdon, obviously we've seen her way more than anybody had thought. Like, Bledsoe can't be the, I guess, backup point guard. And right. Like, the secondary guy just won't work. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think of the Bucks. Like, because just Giannis, it's kind of, all right, so we'll talk about it now with the whole Ben Simmons. Like, guys whose games we think have grown, because it's kind of disappointing. Ben would be, like, my player. Like, I just haven't seen anything that I thought I was going to see after the offseason.
You're not feeling it, right?
I mean, like, winning is cool, but I've seen this one before. We won 52 games last year, and like, plus 50 the past 2 years. But it's how we win, right? And, like, if we're going to play Atlanta and Embiid is getting hounded on that, even though Atlanta's tiny and he can get his 36 and 13 and be the most dominant player on the floor, they're just starting to sag off and, like, crazy in, like, the second half of that game. And it was just starting to hurt us more than, like, it normally does. I don't know. It's just
so you wanted Ben to cash out?
Not cash out, but, like, at least show the willingness. Like, it sounds simple, but, like, that short corner, like,
stand his nut ass in the corner. Yeah.
Like, and, like, even make a guy come out to defend you, but, like, you would start to kind of go revert back to those old things hanging, like, right around that dunker spot.
So, do you think that's – I always look at that. Do you think that's by design? Do you think Brett Brown tells him to go there?
No, comfort. Like,
so he wants to just drift, right?
Yeah, and just like he goes in the spots where he feels like he can be most effective throughout the game, because like we kind of saw it in the preseason, which is weird. Like the games that didn't matter, he would, you know,
right?
Like,
but what I think, so every time I try to think about that, what I say to myself is, okay, he's drifting, like, because, you know, obviously it runs through our head, we get pissed because we want him to shoot. But when I see it, I kind of say to myself, like, Brett Brown has to know, and he has to know he's in Embiid's way right now, or he's in Tobias' driving lane, or something, or whatever. You know, he's always kind of like in that little spot where he's ready to get the offensive board, but he's still in the driver's way or the post up guy,
and his guarding is
kind of just the double. Yeah. The double. So that's what kind of tells me it is by design, and Brett kind of tells him, like, look, just linger. I just can't see them not being like, Ben, get out of there. Like, go stand in the corner. Like, they wanted him to stand in the corner, he would stand in the corner.
I feel like Ben is not sensitive, but, like, once you start to tell him what to do, like, on the floor specifically.
Yeah, but you don't know Ben Simmons, so, like, that's not.
You don't think that's what it is, because they work on it, and, like, they talk about it. I don't think it was just.
I don't know what it is. Hoax. I ain't going to even act like
exactly the same as it did last year towards the end of the year. Like,
yeah.
And he's balling. Like, he had 24 the first night, like, we were in the Wells for that. Like, and he looked good. Like,
everything to
the
made
run. It a point to give him the ball. It's limited for 16, but it's just, damn, that's so tough to lose. It's just scary as shit. Like, we're not a championship team if he plays like this. I think that's just where I came to.
All right, so we kind of already drifted. That was what we were going to end with. Obviously, some Sixers talk and some Eagles talk. We already starting to shift into the Sixers a little bit. So, do you think we're the best team in the East?
Yeah, we're still the best team in the East. I still don't see a team in the East being able to beat us, even with what Ben plays. Just because.
So you think we can still win the East without Ben shooting?
Yeah.
In a playoff series?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, you think we can win a championship without Ben shooting?
No.
So, you think we can't win a championship? Okay.
How do you beat
the? So would this year be? This is the last question. Would this year be disappointing to you if we just went to the championship and lost?
No.
So,
what? We were five years ago, we were the worst team in basketball.
Right.
Like that whole process thing. Like, I don't take.
Yeah. So I don't know.
The championship that's the next step. But we've gotten better from last year. Last year we didn't make the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, yeah, I want us to win it, but like.
Right. Like, I don't know if I'm getting to the point where I think. I don't know if Ben actually has to get a jump shot. But, like, this is how I look at it. This is how I look at it with his shot. Is I always tell you there are certain shots he has to be able to make if he is going to become a shooter. But, like, he still can't turn into, like, a shooter. Like, it'll hurt his game. Like, what he brings to the table. Yeah. Like, what his strengths actually are. Because he's naturally just not going to be an efficient shooter. Because he's not a natural shooter. He's never shot the ball growing up. He's never shot to be a good shooter. He would naturally never be a 50% shooter on jump shots. Or 45% on jump shots. Or willingness to shoot.
Zeros is not to the rapture, but zero doesn't help.
All right, but so what I'm saying, and what I think it happens is, I think Ben is so comfortable doing what he's already good at, and he realizes that, okay, if I get so good at what I'm already good at, we can essentially win it all. That's why I asked you if we can still win a championship now.
Like, how do you win it all? Because there's going to be teams that can kind of contain us in our size, but also run it up on us.
Yeah, and so like,
that's the thing. We
you're only saying a Western Conference team is the only one that's going to be able to beat us. So,
but that's what matters. Like, at the end of the day, that's what matters. Like, there's Eastern Conference teams too with an acquisition. Like, I don't like if the Wizards that whole thing doesn't work out and Bradley Beal somehow ends up on the Bucks, right? Or somehow ends up on the Celtics. Like, it's just like things like that can flip the whole conversation and stuff. For like sure. This, the NBA stuff like that's bound to happen. I think it's a fundamental issue. Like.
Yeah.
Like, not to just exaggerate, because he can still ball. Like, 24-out jump shot is crazy. Like, that's one of the most impressive, like, NBA feelings. And you're playing, the primary ball handler, but at the same time. Like,
he is 6'10", though. But, I mean, dang, taking
like,
away
from. What about the Nets? Like, say if the Nets next year with KD comes back. Like, how do we beat the Nets? Because they got the size to kind of contend with this, but then they have.
Who?
Elite level score than the Nets.
Who guarding Embiid?
I mean, no one's guarding Embiid, but they have the size and length to kind of.
I mean, we big though. I feel like we're gonna bully a lot. Like, that's gonna be our. Yeah,
but those teams can score like 120. Like, that's.
How are they gonna score 120 if we won't let them score 120?
KD and Kyrie are different. Like, that was the prime example of the only team in the East I think could be able to. Yeah.
It's two guys though. That's two guys. I think eventually.
Of our lifetimes, like that's. With a team that's going to be solid defensively.
But we still got a guy that can't stop. So they have guys we essentially can't stop. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's just going to be a walk in the park. And I think, I don't know. The whole thing with Ben not shooting, I think he can just become a 75% foul shooter and take care of the ball. He'd be.
What? How does he become a. You can't become a 75% foul shooter without. Like, that's incredibly tough. Like, if
Magic Johnson shot like 85% of the line, 85, he barely shot. Like, he didn't start shooting until later in his career.
I'm sorry.
Like, you can be a good foul shooter and not shoot. There's a lot of people like that. Is there not?
I'm struggling to think of names of guys that like can't hit a three like in the NBA that shoot like above like 75% of the line.
There's a lot of bigs that shoot a good percentage that don't shoot. Like, they don't actually shoot. I don't have any at the top of my head right now, but that can still shoot 70-75% from the line without, you know, necessarily being
besides
a shooter.
Besides DeAndre Jordan's resurgence, I don't think that there's any big guy with yet. But moving on, that's just inconsequential. I just think, but can we win a championship like this is my question to you.
To me, without him shooting at all?
At all, like at the rate that he's doing, like just playing the same as he is last.
Man, it depends on the rest of the guys. I think we've kind of built a team around him to be able to get stops and just kind of. We want to be that physical team anyway. That's grinding it out. I don't know. I think we have a chance. I think we can definitely go to the finals without Ben Simmons being a consistent jump shooter. But I think it is gonna come back. It's gonna be there, like staring us in the face when he has to go against Kawhi.
Yeah.
Or LeBron or. Somebody from out west.
It just feels like we're like the elite level Grizzlies, like in a sense.
The team with Ozebo and
like
DeRozan is cooking Kawhi right now.
I don't know if I want to be the fan of that team. Like, that's just no fun, bro. Like,
I swear, bro. I will say this before we move on to the Eagles. I will say this. I said that in the other group chat yesterday. I said. Like, our offense isn't that fun no more. And I think the only thing that would make it turn is if Ben was shooting.
Yeah.
Because, like, that would open up everything else. And then you can get everybody, you know, scoring from all over. Tobias shooting threes against the rim and B doing the same thing. Then everything will open up. But right now, we just try to bully, throw the ball to the block, everybody back down. Every single player, though.
That Celtics team was one of the slower NBA games that I've ever watched.
I don't know if I want to be a fan of that.
Like, I mean, I obviously want to be a fan, but like, damn, dog, like,
bro, even last night, like, we were killing them, but all we were doing was posting them up for every position. But we bullies, man. So we're gonna turn into the Broad Street Bullies.
Give your thoughts so far on our guy Thibault. Like, the first five games leading.
Who, Tease?
Yeah, Tease leading the league in steals.
Leading the league in deflections.
Five deflections a game, and to that, he's only playing 21 minutes compared to the other guys playing like around 36. Just gotta give you your. Assessment of his performance. We got to see him guard Kemba that first night. Got Trae Young for a little bit.
Yeah. What would your parents beat you with when you were growing up? You got belts. he just straps. He straps up. I mean, he gets in the passing lane. He literally takes the he'll let you go and swipe the ball from on top of the shot. Like as you're rising to shoot it, he will swipe the ball if you're going up for a layup or a jump shot.
It's like one of those little kids that like you let your brother get by you.
And the swipe is so clean and so quick, he just does it. People don't expect it. And then he has the pickpocket from the back where you go past him, he just pulled the ball out your hands. I mean, he was a great pickup. And we wanted our guy. We traded up for him. People didn't want us to trade with Danny Ainge. And they got a 5'10".
Romeo Langford.
Did they get Langford or they got Edwards first? They got Edwards first. They got a little 5'10" shooting guard. It's cute. And then we got Thibault. So I like what I'm seeing from the Rook right now.
Do you think, because I don't think I like or have fallen in love with Cork Mazi either, but do you think his minutes have kind of...
I think he's earned his minutes. I think after last night, he had 17 last night, and when he gets his touches, he's kind of been capitalizing, I guess. I think his weakness right now is, I mean, he's young. He's 22. So he's been playing when he's 20, 21. But he hasn't shot well enough to get consistent minutes, which is nothing wrong with that. He's young. You know, and I was kind of getting tired of it. But out of him and Shake Milton, I want Shake Milton to play. I think Shake Milton has a higher ceiling. He's a higher, better basketball player than him right now. Mm-hmm. But, Shake just got hurt, and Furkan had 17 last night. So let's see if he can build on that.
And for that backup wing spot, and like Scott has played okay. And
Scott's not a wing; he's a four.
Four or five spot.
Yeah,
but it's just not him or Ennis haven't really played that well. As like our
two Mike Scott had 5 threes last night or two nights ago.
The Atlanta game, but aside from that, he didn't play well. I mean, that's like game didn't play well last night.
He played all right last night. Like, he's playing fine. Like, he's not playing bad. Like, I wouldn't say he's playing bad. Like, Mike Scott's not a guy that's about to give you 15 every night. But he'll give you 15 in nights he has it, and then nights when he's just on the floor, he's that tough guy giving you 5-6 points. Yeah. It is what it is. He's not like an instant offense, but he can get it going when he does. And same thing with Ennis.
Yeah.
I think James Ennis, he had 11 boards last night. He always going to knock that open corner three, and he plays defense. That's all you can really ask for from your bench guys. I like what I've seen from the bench, actually. Kind of feel bad for Trey Burke, though. He hasn't got a single minute this year.
But that's what happened.
But Brett said, look, we guarding this year. I will say, though, Josh Richardson at point guard hasn't been as good as I thought. He'd be. He doesn't really have a crazy feel at the one. He's not, like, bad, but it's not, like, nothing, like, special. But it's, like, better than what we've had on both ends. So I'm liking what I'm seeing from Josh Richardson, too, even though you didn't ask me about him. Got a little fight night in the Clippers-Spurs game right now.
Yeah, Pat Beverly, once again, always,
what?
Him and DeRozan kind of got tangled up, and I guess they got a little scruff. But, yeah, Al's the last guy that I think I wanted to talk about. Having him on your team is just
so... Al Horford, oh, my God, yeah. Most versatile... He has to be probably one of the most versatile fives we've seen in the last, couple years. Last 5-10 years. He can play the four next to Embiid because he can knock down that shot.
Two big threes in that Atlanta game.
He can catch it on the perimeter, rip through and go. He can pass. He can throw that, high-low pass. And then when Embiid's not on the floor, he can still be a perennial all-star caliber center. He does everything on the floor you need a center to do. So he just is the perfect person to have. His rim protection is there, he rebounds, he's the perfect person to have. When your star player is your center, he's the perfect guy to have. Because we go into what? We go into Portland on Saturday night, and Embiid suspended, obviously, for busting Cat's ass, and then Cat swung on my man, and they start tussling or whatever. But, you got Al right there to back us up and just play the five. He's like that cool uncle we got. Not even cool uncle. He's just that uncle we got on the team.
These games are actually kind of good for, like we saw with Tobias. Like just get more touches. Like, he had, 26 in that Atlanta game when it beat him. The game before that. So, a blessing in disguise. Big man kind of gets to stay back in Philly. And
he's still sliding, I think.
You think so?
Better slide with the team.
If you're suspended, can you be at the game?
Yeah, he could be on the bench, I believe. He ain't no bitch.
Yeah. All right, so about that, like, this is kind of getting a little corny to me. Like, I liked it in the moment, and obviously,
Mike Scott, right?
Yeah, the whole Mike Scott thing, and just Embiid, like, it's just like, I guess, like, Embiid was cooking cat, and, like, I understand it because there's some history, but then bringing Jimmy Butler into it and the Instagram post, like, all that was, like, it's kind of childish. Like, I get the initial reaction on that, but, like,
and that's all it is, though, I think, though. I think it's one of those things where, and I agree with you 100% how it's, like, not even so much as childish, but it's, like, it's dragged out at this point. It's almost like you're trying to win the battle so bad that you're just, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
kind of lose it, actually.
Yeah, like, that you're going a little bit too hard. Not, that's one thing I wouldn't be that I've kind of, like, fell back off of. But I think it is a heat-in-the-moment thing, though. Like, where you just got done fighting and you know the whole city's behind you. You said what you said in the post-conference. And then you want to make him know, like, okay, I got your
but
number.
He already knows. Like, it's
yeah, but it's like, I want you to know. I want everybody to know that you know. And if you disagree with that, I'm coming at you. And then they're going back and forth from there. Like, I think it's one of those type things as opposed to just, like, letting it drag on for too long.
Not to be corny, but it seems kind of more like Embiid, like, is trying too hard to be a bully when he already is.
Yeah.
Bro, like, he's already a bully, and, like, he already had the real estate in Cat's head. But, like, once you start, like, just like you said, like, you keep touching on it, keep touching on it. Like, you're going back and forth with the dude that controls Cat's Instagram account. Like, just, like, next game, bro, like, they're like I feel like Brett's got to come out and say something. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and
focus on winning, man.
Like, Embiid was saying all this stuff about trash talking. Obviously, it was only 3 games into the year, and he wasn't saying much, even in preseason. He wasn't on social media, none of that. And he's actually been doing a better job at it or whatever. But, like, at some point, it's not even so much about growing up. It's just, like,
just next, what, next.
Yeah, it's just like, right. It's just like, all right, you're good at that. We get it. Like, let's go dominate. Let's get what we really want as a city now, right? You said you want to lead a city to do this. You want to lead the city to do that.
You're up, like, 20. Like, when your focus is, like, on Cat, like, at that point, like, let's just be like, all right, like, how to.
Like, honestly, yeah. Like, it's good you said it, too. Because, honestly, bro, we could have won 30, 40 points just because of how that game was trending. Like, we were just dominating. We came out in the third quarter just dominating. Before that happened, they were going crazy. And then, obviously, it slows down a little bit.
Yeah, and I feel like, in a sense, like, that kind of hurts the whole full of the team. Because, like, those games, like, it's, like, yeah, you're up 40, but, like, you're building things, like, within the team. Like, now you're just spending for the next 2 nights. Like, I'm sure Brett's not happy about it, but.
You know what's going to happen. But, yeah, I would, so I guess that's something we agree on. Yeah, I would prefer him not getting fights and, like, take it that far. Like, yes, we understand you're arguably the best big and, if not top three big, and you're going to dominate most nights. So how about we just, we're never going to turn him into a humble dude, like, and say, okay, blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, Embiid probably like, look, I came to this country, people used to make fun of me, and now I'm nice. Now I'm just nice out of nowhere. Like, I'm flames, whatever. And I get that's hard to probably handle for him.
People resent you, though.
Yeah.
Like, I know exactly what you're getting at. Like, there's going to be a guy
it's going to be that boys on your back.
You're going to try on Bam Adebayo, and he may sock you. Like.
Somebody going to hit him.
Yeah.
Right? And you won't want it to get to that. So, you know, I kind of hope he just kind of cools out with the whole, you know, trash talking is cool and shit.
Ben's in an awkward spot, though. This is kind of
Cat
is his man. Like, they actually play PUBG and, like, they talk. They're so cool. Like,
so, but Embiid and Cat are cool too. That's what people don't understand. Like, they're in real life, they're, like, actually, like, friends. Like, they ain't best friends, but they, like,
I don't know.
They're NBA friends. Yeah, like, they're not, like.
That's just, like, it's that dude you go to school with. Like, yeah, you think he a bitch, but, like, you're not more. You know what I mean? Like, it's more of that than.
Well, no, say what you're saying about Ben. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It puts him in a weird situation. Because I think Ben is actually, like, him and, like, Dev and, like, D-Lo, like, that old LA light skin crew, like, they're actually cool. So, like, I feel like this is, like, a weird. Because then after the game, he's like, you know, I always got your back. Yeah, I mean, like, that's just, like, a weird dynamic because you can't.
So, Ben's not low. Let me tell you why. Because Ben was grabbing Cat to break it up because Cat's his man. And he was telling Cat to chill. He obviously, and Embiid's his man too, but he knew, like, okay, like, it could look like I'm breaking it. Like, I don't got people didn't read that. It could look like he breaking it up, but what he really was probably saying to Cat's like, yo, chill, just chill. It's not that serious. But now he trying to make it seem like, oh, he choking him out. He putting him in a headlock, and people ate that up. I think that's kind of like how that happened. Mm-hmm. I think him and Cat are cool. and he was telling Cat to chill. And then now it's like the city going crazy. So now he goes on B like, hey, I got your back, whatever. I'm seeing her calling the bluff of our two superstars, whatever. But I think that's really what happened.
It's just real shit, though. Like, it's just like there's some things that you can tell is real. Like there was no punches thrown in that. Yeah. Like, and then Mike Scott, like, just to even go further, like Mike Scott afterwards, like dapping him up, like Embiid actually did something. Like they were just on the ground rolling around. Charles Barkley put it best. Like it looked like just kids fighting.
A snuggle
like,
party. Yeah. No, but I think the Mike Scott thing, I think all that is kind of cool, though, just because that part is cool. And it's a little, like we said, it's a little drawn out and all that. But I think one thing we have done is we've kind of set that tone. Like, we were that team. We were the soft-ass European, like Bellinelli and Ilyasova and Redick. Yeah, and
Sergio Rodriguez.
Yeah, we were that team. Good. And now we're kind of like, okay, we brought in a guy like Mike Scott. We brought in a guy like Kyle Quinn, like some tough guys where it's like, all right, Embiid and Simmons may not always be looked at as the tough guys, but they got some dudes, they got some riders with them. Yeah. And I think Mike Scott was kind of with Embiid, like, yeah, like let them know, like they ain't about to come do like fuck they talking about, like type thing.
I like that.
So and that was cool.
I think a team that we've seen that kind of well, 2 years ago more so with the Rockets, like we saw with that what PJ brought to that squad, like it was just kind of it was damn near the same thing.
For sure.
Paul. All right, let's touch on the Birds a little bit. We got Chicago coming in to the Link at 1 o'clock this weekend on 3rd. Coming off a good win against the Bills, 31-13. A game where I think our offense played okay. I think we could still play better. I think there's still room for improvement. The Bills' offense is terrible. I don't think our defense got a couple turnovers, but I think they just couldn't move the ball. So, like, we looked better than we actually are.
Yeah, so just some Eagles talk, obviously, 4-4. Like you said, we just played the Bills, and our offense looked good, actually. Yeah, I think that's a great Bills defense. We ran the ball. We just smashed mouth offense. We just overpowered them. You know, I took our line and drove them down the field multiple times. We had two really long drives. I think we can just build on that. We got guys getting healthy, coming off a big running game, so we can start dominating the running game. You know, as it gets colder outside, you got to be able to run the ball.
Yeah.
I think we should win this week, you know, with who we got back, DeSean Jackson back. I think Timmy Jernigan is back now. Yeah. Vontae Maddox practiced today, too. So we got, you know, we're getting healthy, coming off a big win. If we can get this W, go 5-4, you get the bye week before the Patriots. And then you get Patriots, Seahawks, Cowboys, and then a soft schedule to end the year. I think we can make kind of a run, we could get kind of hot, maybe lose two or three more games. Mm-hmm. Go 11-5 or
10-6
or 10-6 or I guess 10-6 or 9-7.
Yeah, that's more like
but yeah, I think we could still be prone to make a little run here. Hopefully, D-Jack opens the offense up a little bit and we keep running the ball how we've been and we get a little bit more healthy on defense. We just added a linebacker. I'm sorry, defensive end / outside linebacker from the Browns. Jannard Avery, I believe his name is.
He's played in two games this year. I don't really like that acquisition, but I think
he was a beast last year. I looked at this night; he was a beast last year.
I think it's really telling that how we didn't feel compelled to like go after like a Darius Slay or Harrison at the trade deadline. For two reasons: one, because it would have been so easy just to kind of appeal to like the masses and the fans, like, all right, look, we went out, we grabbed this guy, boom, like we're going for it all this year, but. I've been trying to look at this Eagles season as realistically as possible for the past couple of weeks. Like, we're not a Super Bowl team right now. And, like, for us to be a Super Bowl thing, it's like, Super Bowl team, like, six or seven things would have to go right, which is just, like, kind of improbable. Like, and obviously, it would be cool to win a Super Bowl, and I have the utmost faith. But I do like kind of how we flipped, right, to, like, we're just going to focus in on the guys we have and try to develop and do what Doug did last year, like as the season kind of got on and on, like we kind of peaked late, we got into the playoffs, like obviously Wentz was down, but we're able to beat the Bears, and we're kind of doing the same thing, like you said, running the ball. But I think the less Wentz throws, the better. Just like, I don't think that may sound obvious, but like when he's kind of in that like 28 to 30 range of throwing the ball and like 22 completions, like we don't need him trying to spin the rock, like trying to get three touchdowns a game, 45 throws.
That's it depends on the defense, though.
He can definitely do it.
Depends on where the defense is strong, if they're a better secondary, not necessarily as strong up front.
The Eagles had a really good secondary, though. Well, and
Yeah. Solid front. You kind of just. You go with, yeah, then in that case, you go for your strength. But, I mean, I have no problem throwing the ball 30 times if that's what we have to do to win the game. I think people get caught up too much in the, like, the rushing attempts and stuff like that. Like, if you're winning, you're going to be running the ball more, like, more times than not. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, and I agree. But I just sometimes don't like to put him in. You put your quarterback under a lot of pressure and tell him to go win you a game multiple weeks in a row.
Right.
And that's what I don't like.
At the same time, if it's 3rd and 4, we run the ball and get stuffed for 2 yards, I get mad because I'm like, that's our 100 and whatever million dollar quarterback.
Yeah.
So put the ball in his hands. But no, I see what you're saying. Obviously,
it's on Doug, though, to scheme the run open. Like, there's teams that, like, you've seen New England have done it all year. The Colts do a really good job of it. Like, if you, like, scheme it correctly to where it's mixed in, to where you're not just on first and second down, like, it just sounds like just regular Madden shit, but, like, I don't know. Like, we did a really good job last week, and I think it was more than just the Bills having a bad D-line. I think, like, the actual play calling of the runs kind of opened things up for them more. So.
All right, let's end with this. So, we got to play the Redskins already, right? We get the Redskins once. We got to play the Giants twice.
Cowboys.
We get the Cowboys again. And then we got the Bears, Seahawks, and Patriots. That's 7 games. How many losses?
3, so 9-7.
So we don't win the division, and we're not in the playoffs this year.
No, I mean, we don't. Like, I hate when people have already said, like, the NFC is going to be, like, the craziest divisions because the NFC North, but I see the Bears falling off a cliff. Like, we're going to beat the Bears this week, and I think after that, like, it's going to be kind of full tank mode because they can't get another quarterback.
What they got to do, but still, you still got the team from
the West, NFC West.
The West, and
Seahawks and. Seahawks and the Rams. Not the Seahawks and the Rams. Seahawks and 49ers get in. Rams probably one of the wild cards as well. So, yeah, we'd have to win the division. Shit.
Seahawks and... No, there's going to be 3 teams in the playoffs from that division, most likely.
Yeah.
If the Rams get in. Seahawks are definitely
getting in. As of right now, I guess I don't want to make this
playoffs. Yeah, so wild card still would be tough.
Which is... Damn, I hate to be that guy who's a fan, but, like, I'm so locked in with the Sixers right now. Like, you know, I'm become more and more realistic as the Eagles fan. Like, we suck. Like last week didn't. Like, yeah, we won the game, but we still have a lot of problems. So, hopefully, it gets fixed.
we suck.
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, once again, has zero targets last week. We took him over D.K. Metcalf, who had, like, 2 touchdowns. Matt Collins
is garbage.
As someone said, getting his Fitbit steps in for $800,000 a year.
He's different.
114 snaps, 4 targets, 0 catches. That's
just stealing bread. Like,
that's tough to do. 114 snaps and Wentz don't even want to look at you. Like,
bro, he as soon as I don't know what game was it he was getting. Oh, I guess Alshon was out, so he had to get targeted. He was so happy like when he came back, and like you can see him out on the field. All he does is block and play special teams, and he's fine with that.
Why we get rid of Jordan Matt? Like, I mean, I guess you always go for the younger guy, but like, I'd rather have Jordan Matthews over Matt Collins.
All right.
Like, at least Wentz liked him and was reliable to an extent. But whatever, we'll wrap it up. Let's talk about the contest here.
So we got, like we were saying, to start off, just we want to end off with a couple contests and a couple announcements we have. So first off, the giveaway we're going to do this week is obviously episode 26, so we'll do a giveaway for this week, and we'll have the winner before the next episode of TNT Hoops, if not the day after. We'll figure that out and update you guys. But the contest is simply, listening to the podcast, sending us a screenshot, and tagging us either on Instagram or Twitter. The handle's at TNT Hoops Podcast. Very simple. Once you do that, you get a valid entry. We put you in a hat. We mix up the hat, and we pick at the end of the week, and we get the winner. The winner gets $50, and we thank you for being a loyal listener. And the last thing we're going to say is we want special speakers coming up. Any guest speakers, anybody interested in, you know, coming on the show, you know, talking for a little bit. We've had people in the past, and it worked out perfectly, so... If you're interested, you know, hit our DMs on Twitter or Instagram, and we'll see if we can make it work. Like I said before, other than that, y'all know the vibes, TNT Hoops. Like, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend. Quit and silly in the building. Gang.
Dang, TNT Hoops, baby.